Erdogan strengthens secular and moderate Muslim presence. Published in the Arab News, April 20th, 2017. In any other election, if someone received more than 51% of the vote or a 2.5% margin over a highly controversial issue, the mainstream news media would declare it a decisive victory and a mandate. But the mainstream news media doesn't apply the same standards of civil rights for the Muslim and the Arab world that they apply to the West. Last week, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, one of the few truly democratically elected leaders of the world's 50 predominantly Muslim nations, won a referendum which expands his powers by eliminating the nation's antiquated parliamentary system and implementing a new government similar to the one established by the United States. Turkey has been a parliamentary system governed by a ceremonial president who appoints the country's prime minister. It's plagued by the parliamentary deficit of having to create coalitions. Many of his foes are concerned, but Erdogan's strategy is clearly intended to prevent Turkey from transforming into another religious state that could morph into a bastion of extremism. Despite his faults, Erdogan is one of the most moderate leaders of a Muslim nation, and he represents the survival of secular government in a Muslim world where governments are run by religious edict. Erdogan represents the evolution of the growth of democracy, driven by the vision of Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, following the dismantling of the 6-century-long Ottoman Caliphate that began at the end of World War I, just 100 years ago. The transformation ended on March 3, 1924, after Atatürk was elected the country's first president and he founded the Turkish Republic. What Erdogan is doing is merely continuing Atatürk's vision, protecting the nation from the threat of religious extremism and establishing a constitutional form of government that respects the rights of citizens. Unfortunately, during much of the 20th century, many religiously run governments have found ways to use principles of democracy to undermine freedoms and replace civil law with religious laws. Erdogan's referendum, which is being challenged by the religious extremism, would eliminate the office of prime minister and give the president truly executive powers to represent the people who elected him. The president could serve 2 5-year terms or possibly a third term if the parliament called new elections during a president's second 5-year term. Erdogan would be given the power to appoint judges and select the people to run many of the government's offices, pretty much the way the American system works and an American president rules this country. Turkey would continue to have a parliament, which would basically become a new form of a Congress. Majority coalitions would not come together to run government, but it could override the president's executive decisions. The government changes come in the wake of a religiously driven and violent coup that took place on July 15, 2016 that was led by the American-based Islamic cleric Mohammed Fethullah Gulen and his loyalists in the Turkish military. Gulen advocated a brand of Islamic tolerance that is criticized by opponents as a veiled form of religious government conversion. Erdogan was on a vacation when the coup happened, but he quickly called on the people of Turkey to stand up to the military coup. Eventually, Erdogan returned to full power, imposed nationwide curfews and restrictions, and weeded out plotters from every level of government, the religious establishment, and in society. More than 100,000 people were purged following the coup. Many of Erdogan's critics have warned that the nation is headed towards a totalitarian regime, but Erdogan's history shows just the opposite. Erdogan rose up from his political activism with the Islamist Welfare Party. He was elected to the parliament in 1991, but was barred from taking his seat due to his religious associations at the time. In 1994, Erdogan was elected the mayor of Istanbul, raising fears of religious revolution. He won with the largest vote, 25%. Erdogan focused instead, though, on improving government services. He tackled the city's problems with water, pollution, and heavy traffic. But his association with the Islamist Welfare Party continued to haunt him, and the party was outlawed in 1999. Erdogan was forced out of office before his term expired, and he was imprisoned, serving only 5 months. In 2001, Erdogan established a new secular political party, the Justice and Development Party, or the AKP, which promised to build on its past focus of improving services to everyday Turkish citizens. The AKP won 66% of the seats in the parliament, and he became the prime minister. But the judiciary again blocked his rise to power, and he was stripped of that power, returning years later with the help of another opposition party support. In 2014, Erdogan, still fighting for democracy, was elected the nation's 12th president, winning 51.8% of the vote. Erdogan quickly became the target of many in the West when he began providing funds and supplies to rebels who were battling the Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad. Critics tried unsuccessfully to assert that he was funding ISIS, including former Vice President Joe Biden, who later apologized for making that ridiculous claim. Erdogan supports Palestinian rights and has confronted Israeli regional violence, including denouncing Israel's military for its cold-blooded murder of civilians, including the Turkish-American citizen during the Gaza Freedom Flotilla in 2010 on the Mavi Marmara. He has stood up to the Israeli leadership and is building alliances with the Sunni Arab world, with Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan, all nations confronting the rising extremism of Shia politics driven by Iran, its Hezbollah-controlled militias, and Assad's Syria. His leadership has challenged the racist view that drives the policies of many European and Western countries towards Arabs and Muslims. Erdogan cracked down on growing extremism in the country's religious media, and he cracked down on Kurdish separatists opposing Kurdish forces in Iraq and Syria. Yet Erdogan offers a balance that strengthens the moderate Arab world. He serves as a buffer to the West and a forceful line confronting growing Israeli political extremism. He is the strongest voice against the evil alliance of Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah, the real threat to the survival of the moderate Arab world. Despite the criticism, Erdogan stands as a dependable ally for the moderate Arab world in the war against religious extremism. I'm Ray Hanania. Thank you so much for listening to my column commentary podcast at thedailyhookah.com. My columns address issues from around the world, including news, politics, and slice-of-life topics from Chicago to Jerusalem to Damascus. This podcast is an audio production of those print newspaper columns and also features other independent audio interviews. My mainstream columns appear in the Des Plaines Valley News, Southwest News Herald, Regional News, and the Reporter newspapers every week, and they're viewable online too at thedailyhookah.com. My columns on Middle East topics appear every Thursday in the Arab News newspaper and online at thearabnews.com. Download my free podcast app from the Apple Store or visit my website for more information, again at thedailyhookah.com. Thank you so much.